Welcome back to the Simple Farmhouse Life Podcast, episode 39. I want to talk today about where do you get food if you want to eat locally, organic, grass-fed, but you don't live on a farm? Where can you go and how to incorporate that into your family's life?
My name is Lisa, mom of six and creator of the blog and YouTube channel Farmhouse on Boone. Join me as I share with you my love for creating a handmade home from scratch cooking and a little mom and entrepreneur life along the way.
I know that this topic can be a bit overwhelming. I remember whenever I first started reading about buying organic and locally and why it was important for health reasons and then also sustainability reasons, it felt a bit overwhelming to me because it's a shift in your focus on where you're going to acquire everything, and it can be a bit of a lifestyle change. So right now you might be getting everything at the grocery store, and branching out of that can take a little bit of legwork up front. But the thing about it is, once you get your sources all lined up, it's actually not any harder. And a lot of times you'll buy in bulk and you'll be grocery shopping a lot less. It just takes a little bit of legwork to get there. Now, I haven't lived anywhere else other than Missouri, and so I can't speak for every state, but I do have friends, blogger friends, who live in other states, people I've met on the internet who live in other states, and they are able to find similar sources where they live. So this should apply pretty much no matter where you live. You can get locally sourced food even if you live in the city. So let me just share with you a little bit about my experience here in Missouri. So first of all, why would you want to? Why does it matter? Is it more expensive? A lot of times when you buy food from local farms, you don't necessarily save money, or at least that's not the main motivation. You can probably find food cheaper without doing it this way. So that is not the main motivation. For me, the main reason that I like to source things locally is I like cutting out the middleman because I'm going straight to the farmer. I'm not worrying about how the food was handled all along the processing lines and whatever it takes to go from growing the food or raising the animal to grocery store. Cutting that out, you will know what your food ate, if it's an animal, how your food was handled, where it was grown. And it's just a simpler line to track than who knows what when you're getting eggs from the grocery store or something like that. Also, avoiding factory farm conditions. This is a topic I'm a bit opinionated about. I met some girls who were vegetarian, and they still ate milk and cheese and eggs. And I called them out on it because if you are a vegetarian for animal rights purposes, you should source things in a responsible way. If that is something that concerns you, to me, the best way to advocate for animals is to know where you're getting the food. See where it's coming from and how it was handled in the process. I'm sure, as many of you have heard with the virus going around, that the entire U.S. food supply chain is breaking down. I saw a lot of articles circulating that the founder or the owner, head CEO of Tyson said that the entire system is breaking down. It's making people more aware of their food sources and more conscious of it than I've ever seen before. My sister, she is a cattle farmer and she sells beef direct to consumer, and her sales have skyrocketed because people are scrambling to find new sources for food, and the farmers are the people to look to. And it just makes so much sense. So I have a 26-year-old sister who raises Angus cattle out on the most beautiful green pastures, and she usually just sells straight to the market because, as opposed to selling beef by the cut, because the customers aren't readily available in there because people are just so much more used to going to the grocery store and buying their beef. Why not buy from someone like that? Why not support that small business and cut out all of the middlemen in between it? Another little mini rant I'll go on is, the other day I was talking about a farm that I like to get eggs from, and they're now shipping their beef and their eggs. And I had someone comment on my YouTube that they weren't going to order from that farm because it wasn't organic. And here's the thing you have to understand. The way to understand what you're getting is not by just reading the organic label. Now, when you're at the grocery store and you've exhausted your options for finding something locally, buying the organic food is a way to ensure that it was grown or raised in by certain standards. But a lot of small farms, and this small farm that I was representing on my YouTube channel the other day, they don't have the money to get organic certified by the government. It just, to get that organic label, there's a lot of hoops you have to jump through and a lot of money you have to pay. So it's important to know that you're not just looking for a label. You are trying to source something based on the conditions you saw at the farm, based on what they're feeding them. If you talk to the farmer, you've asked questions, you've possibly met the animals that are producing your milk and your eggs. The goal is to reframe how you view where your food comes from and having more of a hand in the process and not just getting a package from the store. Okay, so you can see why I am passionate about this and think that it is so important. Now, where exactly do you source these foods? Because at first it seems overwhelming, and I have a feeling that some people won't even listen to this episode because when you see it, you'll just think, yeah, that's for people who live in certain areas, maybe rural areas, and you actually might be really surprised. So things like that aren't readily available where everyone you know is buying from it simply because people aren't used to buying from there. So just in your regular circles, it might not come up, but I find that if you start digging, you will find the sources. So for an example, I have someone I met in my town who I met her through the blog, but she just emailed me this morning and was asking me about where I get my milk. And we'd both encountered a certain farm that charges quite a bit for it. And she said, well, I drive to this particular town and I pay this. And then I said, well, I drive to this town and I pay this. So right there in a quick conversation, we brought up three different farms that are within a 30-mile radius of where we live. And I know of more still because recently a family that we used to get our milk from, they stopped milking, or at least they didn't have enough beyond what their family needed. She referred me to a friend of hers who started milking. And then I have a friend who milks goats. And then my cousin's friend also milks goats. I could get raw milk all day long here in any quantity I want. And this is just with a little digging. If all of these sources failed, I promise I could find more. So it just requires talking to friends, finding people in your area. If you're at church, maybe ask around. See if someone knows, and they might say, oh, well, I know this one girl gets raw milk. I get that question a lot. Somebody that I don't talk to much will reach out to me and say, hey, a friend of mine's talking about milk, and I thought maybe you're a person who gets raw milk, and then I will refer them to some of my sources. So asking around is the biggest way. Same thing goes for my pork that I buy. Now, currently, a friend of mine is starting to raise pigs and she's going to sell the pork. So I'm probably going to get it from her whenever she starts accepting orders. But she was the same one who referred me to a different farm in this area. And the process will take a little bit of getting used to. We might live on 7 acres now, but we still don't raise much of our own food at this point. And we have the goal of doing that. But as of right now, all we pull in from our farm is 11 eggs a day. That's it. Now, we just got through building tons of raised beds. We have a dairy goat that we will soon be milking because her kids are, I believe, 2.5 weeks now. So we can start separating them half the day and milking them. But I still eat local farm food, even though Luke and I are not farmers at this point. So yes, I have a barn and a silo, but I still rely on farmers all over my area to provide the food for our family, and I'm more than happy to pay even extra. Mostly the things that we buy are very comparable cost, but if they were double, I would still be willing to sacrifice in other areas of our lives in order to have this fresh food. I got on a side tangent there. The process is a little bit different than just going to the store and buying cuts of meat. What will happen is, or at least this is how it has worked for me anytime I order beef or pork, you'll buy the pig or the cow from the farmer and you'll pay them what it costs per pound to buy it. Usually it's a hanging weight. And then you will call a processor in your area. The farmer will send the animal to that processor. Typically, they have arrangements and partnerships with a processor that they're used to working with. That's how it's worked out for me with all the farms that I've ordered from. And then you'll get on the phone with the processor and talk about the cuts. So this might be the part, if any part of this is scary, this might be the most, this the part where you feel the least educated, okay? The first time I ordered direct from a farm, the conversation between me and the butcher went something like this. Okay, do you want this part in sausage or pork chops? Do you want a pound in a package or two? And I just the entire time, what do people usually say? What do people usually do there? I had no idea what those cuts were, what I was really getting, but I knew that I would be able to at least do a quick Pinterest search on that certain cut and figure out how to cook it, how to prepare it. I also knew that I would become more familiar with the process over time, and that's exactly what's happened. The more you take charge of your food supply, order direct from farmers, you will learn how to cook everything from oxtail to ribs. You will know what those cuts are and how to use it. I have even cooked tongue. That some of you probably needed a little trigger alert there. I don't know. It's actually quite delicious. I've cooked heart. Now you can opt to not get those cuts. You can also opt to get the bones with it to make stocks with. That's another thing. Another reason why this is so important. I tell you on my blog that you should be making bone broth. I show you how to make soups from bone broth. But if the only animal that you are buying whole is a chicken, the only kind of broth you'll ever get is chicken broth, and you won't get near enough of it because how many chickens are you going to cook every week? Not enough to get you a lot of broth. So you can buy bones. You can ask the butcher to cut them in a certain way so that they fit in your Instant Pot or your stock pot. You can get chicken feet if you're ordering whole chickens from a farmer. I have a local farmer that sells packages of chicken feet. Now that might sound really weird, but it actually helps bone broth to gel up. It's a very healthy part of the animal for you to simmer in your broth, and it's not something to just be discarded, but you've probably never encountered chicken feet if you haven't ordered from a local farm. So on my blog, I have a post where I talk about finding local food, and I talk about some websites like realmilk.org, eatwild.com, or maybe it's, sorry, I just double checked. That's realmilk.com and eatwild.com. But these are websites where farmers get on and register their farms with the website so that you can search for your local farms in your area. And that is a wonderful way. That is a way that I've found some of my sources, but most of them are just from asking around to friends and just poking around in the community and figuring out where people have their best sources. A lot of people have reached out to me. I've reached out to others. It's a community. And I think it's getting a lot more common, as evidenced by my sister and how much she is selling right now. Another way is to get on your local Weston Price group. I'm on the St. Louis Weston Price Facebook group, and people will post where they have some meat for sale, or they'll ask, you know, where each person is buying certain things. Another great way is just watch out for roadside stands. If you see someone that says fresh eggs, go in there, grab several because eggs don't go bad. I buy a lot at one time, so the fridge is stocked. And then while you're there, if you see a dairy cow, maybe ask them if they have extra milk to sell. Post about it on Facebook Marketplace. There has never been an easier time to find fresh local food as there is right now. And once you get your sources, this isn't something you're going to be digging for all the time. So right now, I go on Tuesday nights, every Tuesday night, and get 3 or 4 gallons of organic. Well, it's not organic because of the certification thing I talked about earlier. But what I consider to be perfectly organic grass-fed raw milk. I get cream and butter from the same lady, and I go every Tuesday night. I don't even have to call. I just show up, I get it, and I make my milk keeper from that. I also, once every 6 months or so, pick up a half of a cow, half of a pig. This isn't something that I have to constantly do to acquire food from a local farmer. It is something that once you get all of your ducks in a row, it's very easy to do. I'm sure you've heard people say that you can't feed the world without producing food on a huge scale. You know, we used to have in this country where everybody had a few chickens, had a big garden, they produced a little bit of this and that. But I wonder if we all bought from local farmers, if it would make it more profitable to actually have a farm. Right now, it's hard to be a farmer. People are so used to paying the cheap grocery store prices. And when they see that a local dozen eggs cost $3 or something like that, unwilling to pay the difference of what they could pay over at Aldi. I wonder if everyone bought that way, if they would have enough loyal customers to operate and make it profitable. Whenever I'm talking to a local farmer, I like to ask things like, were they fed genetically modified soy, genetically modified corn? Are they out on pasture? Were they given antibiotics? Those are the kind of things that when I know exactly where our food's coming from, I can ask those questions. Hope that's been encouraging. If you don't live on a farm, but you wanna eat like you live on a farm, to start asking around, go to farmers markets, ask around on Facebook, join local chapters of healthy food groups like Weston Price, check the finders, just secure those sources because it is worth your time. Okay, for today's random Instagram question, best tips on having a big family. We want at least three, but all I ever hear is how hard it is and not to. I guess my best tip for that would be to not think about it too much just yet. I do hear people, I was guilty of this myself, before you have very many kids, just saying like, I want X number of kids. And so many things happen over time. You will change the situation with the kids. It's difficult to make plans with children. And also you forget how much you will grow between each one. Because I get people all the time who say things like, I have two, how on earth do you have six? And it's just something that you gain experience and confidence with each one. And so having six is maybe different than having two, because a lot of the things you stress about with two or three kids, you just won't whenever you have more. So my tip is to just wait till you have the second or third kid before you decide that you want the fourth. I go more in this in podcast episode 17, 8 things I've learned from having 6 kids. That will give you more insight into my thoughts on that topic. Right. Well, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Simple Farmhouse Life podcast. If you have not yet grabbed my sourdough ebook, a lot of you have, but it's an over 50 page ebook with all of my sourdough recipes in one place. I've seen a lot of people printing it off, putting it in page protectors. It's like having my book since I don't yet have a cookbook. You can get that at bit.ly/farmhouse sourdough. Thank you so much for listening, and I will see you in episode 40. Ooh, that's a milestone, of the Simple Farmhouse Life podcast.